Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue and really wrap up our reflection on the Lord's Prayer. I've been looking at over the last 2 weeks. We're going to take a look at the last two petitions of the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. But before I do that, I just want to remind you, if you haven't had a chance to tune into the programs, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them in whatever device works for you. Best thing to do, though, is to download the Renewal Ministries app. You can have access to everything we're doing in Renewal Ministries, TV, radio, our newsletters, and just you can, through that, can also just browse our website. There's a lot of good free teaching there that we put together to just build you up. And I also want to ask you, friends, if this program has blessed you, if it encourages you, spread the good news, so to speak. I mean, I feel more passionate about this work than I ever have before, because I think we're in a very, very difficult time, and there's a time of kind of darkness and testing and difficulty and confusion. And what we need is the clarity of the Word of God and the teaching of the church. And that's light for us. It's a foundation to stand on. It's everything that we need to be able to get through. And hopefully hearing God's Word and hearing some testimony occasionally on the program and the like can strengthen you in this time of difficulty to be an anchor and help me spread this and just encourage other people to download the app and to be able to listen to this program whenever they want to. So let's jump in. Lead us not into temptation, paragraph 2846. This petition goes to the root of the preceding petition. What was the preceding one? Talked about forgiveness, right? Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us, trespass against us. It says, for our sins result from our consenting to temptation. We therefore ask our Father not to lead us into temptation. Now, it's difficult to translate the Greek here. Catechism tells us a verb is used by a single English word. The Greek means both do not allow us to enter into temptation and do not let us yield to temptation. Then quoting scripture, Catechism says, God cannot be tempted by evil and he himself tempts no one. On the contrary, he wants to set us free from evil. So we ask him not to allow us to take the way that leads to sin. We're engaged in the battle between flesh and spirit. This petition implores the spirit of discernment and strength. So, great thing to reflect on in this season of Lent, because really at the heart of it, especially the beginning of the season of Lent, is the recognition, kind of the retooling, you might say, and ordering ourselves around some fundamental truths about reality. And one of those fundamental truths is we live in a battle. Spiritual battle it's what this world is about. It's foundational. It's everywhere. It's a part of life. And it's a battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, as we've talked about many times on the program. And so this prayer, Jesus not only brings us from the petition that we get serious about seeking the forgiveness of our sins, but also that we extend forgiveness to others, because that's really the life, a way to spread the lifeblood of the kingdom. It's the way of the kingdom is forgiveness. It's loving, concrete expression of releasing people from debts and bondage and ourselves being forgiven through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit in us and the church and the sacramental life that's there. So we want to not only live it in our own personal lives, we want to extend it to other people because we want to help change. You know, we want to help people grow. We want to help set people free, because that's exactly what we've been called to do in Christ since we've been baptized into him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paragraph 2847 says, the Holy Spirit makes us discern between trials, which are necessary for the growth of the inner man, temptation, which leads to sin and death if we say yes to it. We must also discern between being tempted and consenting to temptation. Finally, discernment unmasks the lie of temptation, whose object appears to be good, a delight to the eyes and desirable, when in reality, its fruit is death. So we have, maybe some other time I can talk about just kind of the anatomy of sin and choosing it at a deeper level. The Catechism here is talking about discernment. Just because we're being tempted, it doesn't mean we're sinning. Entertaining temptation can be a sin for sure. It can be a sin. But what are we being seduced by here? The Catechism is saying the temptation puts before us an object which appears to us as being good. It's a delight to the eye, but it's willfully grabbing hold of that good in a way that's not consistent with God's plan and with God's purpose. We see that all the time. Abuse of alcohol, abuse of relationships, premarital sex, you name it. There's just lots there that in all these things, there are goods that are perceived and we see the value for us, but sin is the overreach to take something, use it for our own purposes in a way that leads to excess or abuse or something fundamentally inconsistent with God's purpose and God's plan. Paragraph 2848. Lead us not into temptation implies a decision of the heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No one can serve two masters. So that's very insightful because within us is divided heart. And the journey toward holiness, to living more fully in Christ, is having an integration, a full integration at the core of our being, aligning ourselves with the will of God. And the healing of the human heart and the subduing of the drives of the flesh that's deep within, that the Holy Spirit begins to guide us, the Holy Spirit begins to move us, and instead of the sins of the flesh or the demands of the flesh sort of dominating our mind and our will, what begins to really change and transform us is the work of the Spirit, which then produces the fruits of the Holy Spirit within us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, things like that. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. In this ascent to the Holy Spirit, the Father gives us strength. No testing has overcome you, has overtaken you, that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. That's a direct quote from Scripture, and it's important to reflect on that because you can feel if we've given into habit patterns of sin and that temptation grabs us and we kind of feel powerless in the face of it, which in our own strength we are. That's apart from God's grace, but God's, if you're baptized into Christ and you're walking in him, you've been going to confession, the rest, you have a resource within you. So don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let your flesh lie to you and say, this is just too much. I simply can't overcome it. You can overcome it. Stand on the word of God. It says God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. So ask yourself, when you just feel like you're overwhelmed with temptation, say, where's the Lord? Help me. Show me the escape hatch. Where's the way of escape right now? Call somebody, talk to somebody, stop at the chapel, do whatever. There's a way to escape it so you're not a slave that you have to fall into it. So this battle is real. The Catechism reminds us it's ongoing. Jesus says, vanquish the tempter, the Catechism tells us. We've been given a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life. We have the sacraments of the church that feeds us, the word of God that renews our mind. We have brothers and sisters that we can walk in with support. And so if we're serious about this, and this petition comes from the core, Father, do not allow me to fall into temptation. Help me not to yield, Father. I want to say no to sin, and I want to say yes to you. I know that there's still in me a desire to say, no, I want to say yes to sin. And I'm going to make room for sin. I confess that, Lord. I need your help. And then, friends, walk in humility and rely on God. Now, the last petition is connected. You know, it kind of completes that prayer, lead us not into temptation. That is the temptation that comes from the tempter. Help us to be vigilant. Help us to stand and be able to persevere all the way to the end. But deliver us from evil. It's very good for us to see this petition and understand there's evil in the world. It's real. It's powerful. There's a dark kingdom that's present in this world. And there's a satanic power, Satan himself, who drives that kingdom. And he's your mortal enemy. He hates you. He wants to destroy you and separate you from God forever. So 2850, this paragraph says, the last petition to our Father is also included in Jesus' prayer. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, Father, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. The evil one, not just an evil force, not just some vague kind of disorder. It's the evil one, a being. It touches each of us personally, but it is always we who pray in communion with the whole church for the deliverance of the whole human family. The Lord's Prayer continually opens us to the range of God's economy of salvation, our interdependence in the drama of sin and death, turned into solidarity in the body of Christ in the communion of saints. Paragraph 2851, in this petition, evil is not an abstraction, but refers to a person, Satan, the evil one, the angel who opposes God, the devil, Diabolos, is the one who, quote, throws himself across God's plan and his work of salvation accomplished in Christ. It's important for you to hear that and understand it, because there's voices in the church, even in high places in the church, who are now somehow so sophisticated and have their own view of things to say, for example, that Satan is not a being, he's not a person. It's a way of just expressing the negative things that happen in the world. It's a personification of the realization that there is such a thing as evil. That's not the teaching of Scripture. It's not the teaching of Jesus. It's not the teaching of the apostles. It's not the teaching of the church. Satan is real. He's an enemy. He's a mortal enemy. Paragraph 2852 says he's a murderer from the beginning, a liar and the father of lies. Those are the words of Jesus. Satan is the deceiver of the whole world. So the source of all the deception and the disorder and in all over the place, deception, like denying the reality of the humanity of a child that's living within its mother's womb. That's a deception. It's a lie. It comes from the father of lies. That's just an example. There's all kinds of deceptions that are present in the world. The denial of what it means to be human. Say a man is a woman is a man, that there's no ultimate purpose for marriage, that we created it, we can do what we want to do with it. Those are all lies. Those are all lies. We even have a bishop in Germany, for example, who said recently that Jesus was a human being but was not a man. It's crazy. It makes no sense. It contradicts the teaching of Scripture, of reality itself, but he's doing it because he wants to see certain things change in the church. So he wants to break down the importance of the distinction between male and female and to make it look like Jesus was neither. It's a deception. It's a lie. Paragraph 2852 goes on. It says, through him, sin and death entered the world, and by his definitive defeat, all creation will be, quote, freed from the corruption of sin and death. Now we know that anyone born of God does not sin, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world is in the power of the evil one. So the church doesn't live in fear of the prince of this world and the reality of evil, but she's sober, she's clear-headed, she stands alert, ready to fight evil, to not be seduced, to not be deceived, to stand strong and persevere and stand strong in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the intercession of the saints, in the grace that God gives us, to know between now until we go home, we will be in a fight. And our fight is against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And friends, we need to take it seriously. We don't need to fear him, but we need to be clear-headed and determined to resist him with all the power that the Lord has given us so we can live in freedom and be a light in this world. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.